Kaiser Permanente's mental health staff, who are members of NUHW, National Union of Healthcare Workers, have been on strike since August 15th, making this one of the longest healthcare strikes in U.S. history. Mental health professionals ranging from psychologists to social workers are calling on Kaiser to do better for their patients, who they say need consistent and regular access to mental health care. The staff say they can't do this when they're understaffed and overworked. I spoke with mental health care workers and patients on the picket line outside of Walnut Creek on Friday.
I've called the main mental health number 3 times and said, hi, this is me. Here's how I'm impacted. Here's my medical record number. I need help. What am I supposed to do? They never called back.
That's Laura Bramble. She's one of the thousands of Kaiser Permanente's patients going without access to mental health care at this time.
I am in case management, which means I have a therapist that I was fortunate enough to see twice a week. I acknowledge that I have an extraordinary benefit. That's the level of care that we agreed that is best for me. And I have now gone, I've missed, I think, 6 or 7 appointments that would have happened if the strike hadn't happened. And this is not to say that I'm not holding my therapist at fault. You know, she's not the blame. This is because Kaiser cannot or will not put the emphasis on mental health that it does on all the other types of care. And it's not fair. It's not right. And people like me are left hurting. And I can't even begin to think about what it's like for the people that were waiting for appointments and had been waiting and are still not in the system.
Carissa Tom is the organizing coordinator with NUHW, or the National Union of Healthcare Workers. Even though right now patients like Laura Bramble are hurting, Tom says this strike is all about patient care.
Right before our members decided to go out on strike, Kaiser actually tried to offer like a last-minute deal that was a big bump in wages but didn't address any of the patient care issues, and essentially, you know, told our members that we can give you this, if you accept it, don't tell anybody about it. And obviously our members felt that that was a bribe, that was hush money. You've heard from so many other people, I'm sure, right, that they're talking about they're not on strike for wages, they're not on strike for the economics, they're on strike because they want better patient care. And so those are really the main things out on the table of really getting Kaiser to commit to more incentives for recruitment and retention, as well as committing to hiring more staff and even creating a staffing committee that so far they've balked at. So those are some of the main issues that our members are out on strike for.
So this is literally a case where maybe they were offered more than they were asking for?
Yeah, absolutely. Essentially, Kaiser tried to throw money at our members, in order to try to avert a strike. And our members said, this is not what this is about. It has been and always has been this, about patient care. This strike, it didn't come out of nowhere. It's the culmination of at least 12 years of struggle, specifically on this issue. Our members have been doing that through contract enforcement, through previous strikes that they've been on. Our union and our members really led the fight on passing SB 221, which is holding primarily Kaiser, because they're the biggest name in the game, right? Accountable to actually seeing patients on a more frequent notice, right, within those 10 days, as well as the most recent passage of SB 855, which would increase the fines that Kaiser gets per incident where patients are not getting seen, from $2,500 to $25,000. And that passed the state house last week, and it's kind of sitting on Governor Newsom's desk waiting to be signed.
Lori Ono is a case manager in intensive services at Kaiser Permanente, who has worked in mental health services for more than 2 decades. Ono says she can't wait to get back to her patients, but in order to give them the kind of care they need and deserve, she and her colleagues are taking a stand.
I've worked in different positions. So I worked in the intensive outpatient program for a period of time, and then for about 10 years I was a generalist, so I saw anybody who came in who was an adult, and I left that position for this very reason that we're out here, because it's kind of like stuffing a trash bag. If you just keep stuffing the trash bag without emptying it, you're eventually going to have a big blast of the trash bag, right? And that's what happens, is that people essentially can't do it. It's just like you keep getting more and more patients in your schedule, but people aren't leaving. And then you get complicated people, and they're definitely not leaving, and they need more support. And when I was in that position, I saw people regularly every 2 months. So once I did an intake with them, I could not see them for another 2 months.
What was that like for you?
It was horrible. It was horrible. It was stressful. It was concerning. You know, I did my best to try to kind of like contain what their needs were. And I started just being incredibly transparent. And I'd say, look, you know, you call me, let me know if you need something or whatever. But this is what I can do.
Your hands are kind of tied, right?
Oh, completely. Like, completely tied. And so, you know, the thing that they want us to do is they want us to have the patient call the main number and talk to somebody. So,
not you.
Well, I mean, no, actually, they would actually have us take care of it. So we had to find time to, in our schedule, like whatever time we didn't have to do that. And I would regularly spend 1 to 2 hours a night just completing paperwork, and then 4 to 5 hours on the weekend just to complete paperwork.
These are hours that you're not compensated for.
I wasn't compensated at all. And then the other thing is, let's say that I did happen to finish remarkably, or I had something I needed to go to, they would not let me leave a little early knowing that I would get my job done. You know, it's like, it was just not a professional environment. And it's still not a professional environment in that way. They treat us like factory workers.
What keeps you at Kaiser?
I've been here for 22 years. you know, the team, the people that I work with, the patients, I have a heart for the patients. And I actually worry, you know, about the people that I work with that, you know.
This makes you emotional.
Yeah, I mean.
Emotional.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to get the care that they need.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or a message you'd like to leave with the patients who you can't see right now?
I'm pretty torn around that because I know I'm doing this for them, but I also know how hard it is on them. So
it hurts you to not be able to care for them, right?
Yeah, it hurts a lot. I don't want to be doing this, but you know, there's a point at which like you have to make choices, and you know, when you're trying to do what's in the best interest of people, you know, what's really, really in the best interest, you have to fight. So that's what I would say.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Patty Papanay is a per diem marriage and family therapist who works in the chemical dependency unit at Kaiser's mental health facility.
It took me at least 10 years to get the amount of hours and all the different categories, 3,000 hours or something, as a single mom with two young children and no pay. I ended up doing a gig where I think we lived on $24,000 for the year. So most of the time to even get this license, many of us have to live below poverty level with our families. And you know,
so you went through that as you were raising your children.
I went through that. I was actually a welfare mom. When I was, I went back to school to Berkeley to finish my BA when my kids were 2 and 5, and then went on to get my master's, and then went on for the license. But
and what made you do that?
You know, I was in my late 30s at the time, and it took me that long to figure out that I had more to give, and I had a female therapist. And I just admired her so much, and she helped me so much to really start getting better self-esteem and leaving a marriage that was not healthy for me. And yeah, so it was time, and there was something within me that just said, it's time for you to stand up and fight, and you have worth and value. And I think where my struggle is with this is that most of the therapists, not all, we also have men, but it's a feminized, it's kind of like teachers has been for a long time. It's a very feminized profession. And I mean, you can see almost everybody out here are women. And so I got hired at 62. I had been working at another job that was, I had burnout and trauma issues. And so I got hired at 62 at Kaiser, and I absolutely love it. I've been there 8 years, and the staff is probably the most incredible staff and loving staff, as well as the immediate management we work with. who I know is also struggling with all this. You know, this is not what they want to have happen to us.
Papanay says that in order for mental health professionals to provide the kind of care that Kaiser patients deserve, they need to be taken better care of.
I know that the people that I work with, they've got all this personal time off, PTO and vacation, and there's nobody to fill in for them. So they're stuck and they're begging their other colleagues to try to fill in for them, who are also working over, you know, a full period, and they have families and children, and there's nobody to help. I've been the only per diem person to jump in and help people on vacation or take a day off to take their, you know, pregnant wife to the doctor or whatever. It's just, it has not been amenable to a balance of work and family life.
The staff on strike say that Kaiser members who need care should continue to seek it. Mental health patients at Kaiser whose appointments have been canceled can call 1-888-466-2219 to report that. Strikers also say that you can support them by sharing time with them on the picket lines, contributing to their fund while they're out of work, and amplifying their cause. Reporting from Walnut Creek, California, I'm Sharon Sabota.